the psalm, please. First, go to Psalm 65. We want to talk about the attitude of prayer this morning. Attitude. I believe actions are important. Would you agree? I mean, if I stepped on your toe, that'd be a pretty bad act, wouldn't it? You'd be pretty upset. But attitude is just as important. And I find more often that your attitude is what produces your actions. So if you want to fix something, if you got a problem with your actions, don't, you know, if you have a problem constantly going up and just hitting people, you know, can I do that again? You can tie your arm up so that you can't hit them, but you always find something else to hit them with, you know? It's the action that we always worry about instead of the attitude that's behind why I want to hit you. Amen? All right. Attitude. Our attitude when we come to God in prayer. Psalm 65 in verse 2, if you will. Psalm 65 in verse 2. Speaking to God, not to Mary, not to any saint. It says to God, it says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Everybody's supposed to go to God in prayer because he's the one that hears our prayer. He's the one that actually is ready to answer our prayers. There's a God in heaven who loves to hear us pray. Now, the problem is we don't get answers very often. You ever notice that? You ever notice that we just don't get the answers that we need? And I want to show you this entire month, but week by week, I want to show you why prayers don't normally get answered. And I want to show you how to develop a depth and an effectiveness in your praying so that they do get answered. Father, please bless this time that we have in your word. It's precious, and it's the most holy thing we can do right now is to listen to you. Help me as you have helped me help these people. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to approach you in prayer. God, we don't want to learn words to say. We want to learn how to pray. Please, draw us closer to you. Teach us how to get right up close to the heart of God this morning, and humble us, God. That's our challenge. That's our goal, so that no matter what our need is, you can meet it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. By way of background, you know what the most important requirement of prayer? The main primary ingredient of prayer is humility. God is not so worried about what you ask for when you pray as much as your attitude when you pray. When you ask, what you ask for is never too hard for God. Did you know that? There is nothing too hard for God. And you got to get back to believing that. See, I find myself going, oh, I won't even pray about it because it's just never going to happen. You ever said that? But that's the wrong attitude. I get this attitude that something can't be done. God's arm is a bit shortened. He can't reach that far. He cannot do or accomplish what I want to do. You know, he created everything out of nothing. I think he can handle your problem. All right? The key or the blockage to getting answers from heaven is in your heart. It's in your attitude that you bring to God when you pray. The Bible says we should have a lot of good attitudes, a lot of right attitudes when we pray, like thankfulness. That's supposed to be part of our prayer time. When you pray, you ought to thank God. When 10 men who were lepers came to Jesus and they walked up to Jesus, Jesus could have been repulsed and says, unclean, I can't be near you. He walked right up to them and he says, what do you guys want? And he says, to be healed. We want to be clean again. We don't want to have this disease dripping off of our bodies. And Jesus said, you're healed. And immediately they turned around and they started, woo, don't look at me, I got my whole life back. But only one of them turned around and said, I got to go thank him. Thankfulness is a good attitude to have in prayer. Faith is a good attitude to have in prayer. Good night. When you pray, Jesus said, believe. What a waste of time. When you pray and you go, but you're not going to do it anyway. When you pray, have faith persistence. When you pray, stay at it. If you start in prayer, don't stop until it's accomplished. Anybody who builds a building, I mean, we'd call them a right first-rate agent to start a building and not finish it. Amen? You get somebody and they start plowing a field and they give up. We know that that's wrong, but when we start to pray, we never stay through until the end. But the main requirement of answered prayer is humility. Psalm 8, let's go to Psalm 8, stay in the book of Psalms. Kevin, would you mind closing that window there? It's getting comfortable to me, but I'm sure cool to the rest of you. Psalm 8, I'm going to start off and I'm going to blow your bubble. I got to make somebody mad at least every 10 minutes. Psalm 8, in verse 3, let me tell you, we are nothing. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how many people think you are the greatest. You know, it's funny, there's a guy named Cassius Clay. He changed his name to Muhammad Ali, and he went around telling everybody, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. You know what? That's one dummy, but then after that, a whole bunch of people believed him. You can go around and you can try and convince, I don't care how many people you have convinced that you're the greatest. In the scheme of things, when you take a good look at who you really are, you're nothing. Psalm 8 and verse 3. When I, David says, when I consider thy heavens, and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? That's a good question. That thou art even mindful of him, that you think about him, and the son of man, that thou visitest him. I hate to blow your man, but you blow your mind, but you know what man is? Just above dirt. Amen. You know where you're going when you die? To dirt. You're not going into a gold mausoleum, at least nobody I knows. You're going to dirt. You're just above dirt. Come on, shake your head. That's all we are. I know you march up to City Hall. I know you stand up there and says, we have our rights, we deserve this. No, you don't. You and I, we're a mess. We're just above dirt. We are a tiny speck of movement on a big twirling dust ball. In the midst of an empty solar system, they send these probes all up there. They go to the moon, they go to Mars, they go to Jupiter. You know what they're looking for? Life. You know what they find? Nothing. So here's this little speck called Craig Ledbetter moving around on the Earth. He's just moving around like an ant. And this planet here in an empty solar system on the edge of a galaxy that's 100,000 light years across. What am I? What are you, man? We need to come down out of our evolutionary tree. And we need to realize, now you're in Psalms, go to the right, find Isaiah 40. We need to realize what we really are. Isaiah 40 and verse 15. You cannot come to God with the right attitude until you realize what you really are. Isaiah 40 and verse 15. Do you know what kind of people Jesus saves and Jesus makes into his children? Sinners. Sinful. Ungodly people. That's what the Bible says. You see, when somebody comes up and says, God, I'd like to have eternal life. How much is it? God says, too much for you to pay. But if you come down at the bottom, crawling along, saying, God, I don't deserve anything from you, I'll just take the crumbs. God says, pull up a chair, set them at my table, feed them with the best. They're my child. You see, that depends on how you come to God. Isaiah now. Isaiah, what I say? Isaiah 40 and verse 15. Look at what the nations are. It says this. Behold, the nations. That's the whole world. Let's just group every one of the 162 nations there are in the world. They are as a drop of a... Do you know what you do when you hear the sound of a bucket dropping? You turn for a brief second and go, oh. And then you go on with life. The drop of a bucket is only a sound. It means nothing. We are as the drop of a bucket. We're counted as the small dust of the balance. When you have a balance and you put on one side a weight and the other side you put your groceries or whatever to find out how much those apples cost, take everything off and look and just see the tiny bits of dust. That's what we are. We don't affect anything. As the dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles. God takes up the isles, very far away places, as a very little thing. What people say, oh, it would take to them, it would take months to travel to the other side of the world. And God says, it's a very little thing to live anywhere on the planet. We've got to come down out of our evolutionary tree and realize that we're nothing. But you know, go back to Psalm 113. Back to the middle of the book, Psalm 113, verse 6. It actually humbles God. It humiliates God to have to look into the things going on in our world. Psalm 113, what did I say? 113 in verse 6. We'll go verse 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth where? On high. So he's way up there. Who humbleth himself to behold, to see the things that are in heaven. It's embarrassing to him to have to look into here. He has to humble himself to go, what's going on in there? Now, thankfully, he loves what's going on in here. He wants to know what's going on in your and my life. But we get this idea that we are the bee's knees, that God is so, so enamored by us. No, he's not. We're just above dirt. What is man? We need to quit thinking that God is at our service. Secondly, we need to be reminded that Jesus really had to humble himself to become a human. Go to Philippians. This is all the background. Philippians, to the right, in the New Testament. You want to find a book called Philippians, chapter 2, in verse 8. Let's start in verse 5. Philippians, chapter 2. I hope everybody's got their Bible open. I hope everybody's looking along with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you. What kind of mind? Did Jesus walk around saying, let me show you what I can do? I mean, he could have. He could have showed off 24/7, couldn't he? But what kind of mind did Christ have? Let this mind be also in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Never took anything away from God, because it was God. But he made himself of how much reputation? I don't dare want to ask any of you, are you ready to have no reputation? We work our entire life trying to get a reputation, a good one. Jesus took on no reputation. He took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8 is really embarrassing. And being found in fashion as a man, which was humbling enough, he humbled himself more and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It really humbled Jesus to become human. He had to empty himself of everything to become like us. He didn't say, oh, it'd be easy for me to be like Craig Ledbetter. Oh, it'd be easy. Hey, listen, it'd be easy for me, coming from Texas, it'd be easy enough for me, it took me a few years, to become a little bit like the Irish. I can talk a little bit like you now. All right? I can even do a jig every once in a while. I can become like you. All right? Have I embarrassed you enough? But the effort that I take and the gap between me, Texan, to Irish, is nothing compared to the gap that it took for God to become like us. Do you understand? It was humiliating. You think about it. He had to clip his toenails. He had to take a bath once a week, whether he needed it or not. He had to brush his teeth. He had to wash his clothes. I think one of the most humiliating things is, well, a couple of them. One, he had to walk everywhere. We don't even do that. I mean, if our post box was at the end of our driveway, we would drive to the end of our driveway. We're lazy, amen. Jesus had to walk everywhere. And I think the most embarrassing thing that Jesus ever had to do was obey mom and dad. I mean, he humbled himself. Do you understand? We're talking about humility. And the principle is this. If you'll go now to the key verse, Psalm 10, because the key is this. If we want to be heard in heaven, we've got to humble ourselves. Psalm 10 and verse 17. Psalm 10 and verse 17. And I don't care what you think about humility. I don't care what you learned about humility or what you studied. We need a good dose of it. We need a very good dose of it. Psalm 10 and verse 17. This is the key verse. of this entire thought. Lord, thou hast heard the what? What's a desire? A want, a wish. Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Isn't that amazing? Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. God says, I better listen to this guy. I better. He's humbled his heart. I'm going to help him finish fixing his heart. We better humble ourselves if we want to be heard in heaven. So let's look at this thing. Because the most important attitude of prayer, we don't have. I'm glad you want to pray. I don't doubt that if I asked how many of you strive or try to pray, I would see most every hand. I don't doubt that you want to have answers to prayer. I just ask you, do you want to learn how to get answers to prayer? And if you do, then you've got this morning, you've got to let God get you humble. First of all, Psalm 136, the first thing you need to take note of is that God pays attention to humble people. Psalm 138 and verse 6. Middle of your Bible is usually the book of Psalms. Find Psalm 138 and verse 6 now. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud, he knows how. He can't even hear you. That's pretty clear. God pays attention to humble people. We normally don't. People who aren't trying to get our attention, guess what? Don't get our attention. Did you ever notice that? Do you know how you sell a product? Do you know how you get everybody's attention? This is what you need. Come, look. This is what you're... That's how you sell a product, right? You set up big signs. I mean, if I wanted to sell apple pies, do you know what I would do? I would cook a bunch of hot apple pies, put a hot plate underneath them in a small fan by the window and blow that aroma right out the window so that people passing by would go, wow, do I want an apple pie? I have to get their attention, don't I? Amen? But if you want God's attention, he does not take a look at the song and the dance that you put on. He doesn't listen to the flowery words. He doesn't care about all the things you do. He cares whether you're low and whether you have nobody's attention but his. That's why we learn that we pray in our closet. Because when you get low, God says, whoa, do you see what I see? I noticed him. We're not talking about poor people. Humble people are different than poor people. I have found that most European poor people are the proudest people on the planet. They're the most ungrateful, unhappy, always griping, complaining, angry, bitter people on the planet. And yet they claim, well, I'm poor. Being poor doesn't make you humble. So don't say, blessed are the poor, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, Matthew 5, verse 3, we're going to stay in Psalms for a moment because we're going somewhere else in a second. But Matthew 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, in attitude. People who are meek, undemanding people, people who are willing to wait on God are those who are poor in spirit. I've seen people line up when the petrol prices went astronomical back in the 70s. You saw people line up at the petrol stations there. You know what they did when the petrol station ran out of petrol? They waited. They were on empty. There's no place else to go. They had to wait until the petrol tank came and filled up the tanks underground so they could start filling up the tanks of the cars again. Did you know when you're poor in spirit, you have no place else to go but to God? And you wait on him to fill you. That is humbleness. That is humility. Poor in spirit. God spends time. He spends his time with those kind of people. What kind of people do you spend time with? Important people? People who make you feel good? People who are important people? Look at Isaiah 57. Go to the right. Find Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Not too far to the right, you'll find Isaiah and Jeremiah. Find Isaiah 57 in verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. I just love that. This is God saying, I dwell in the high and holy place. Where's that? That's heaven, isn't it? So let's work. Our Father, which art where? In heaven, all right? He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. He says, I hang around with humble people to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God spends his time with those kind of people. You want God, who inhabits eternity, to live in your home? Humble yourself, and he'll come right on in. You want him to live in your heart? Praise him. Quit thinking about yourself. Quit thinking about how important you are. Quit thinking about how everybody's not noticing you. Amen. You want God, boy, just filling you and filling your home, filling this church, then think nothing about you. Amen. Go to, we read there in Psalm 10:17, he cares about what you need and what you want. We read there in, go back to Psalm 10 and verse 17. We're going to some different scriptures back and forth this morning, but stay with me, please. The Lord has heard the desire of the humble, not just the needs, not just the demands. And there are many times when we pray that, what do? God, I got to have this. Amen. You ever prayed that way? Usually about every 3 hours. Amen. But he doesn't just give you what you need. Aren't you glad he'll give you the desires of your heart even when you're humble? He cares about what you need, but he also cares about what you want. Isn't that cool? Isn't he a good heavenly father? I mean, my kids just need one meal a day, amen? But I give them three. Aren't I nice? Amen. They only need one pair of shoes. Amen? Come on, say amen with me, amen? And they're all from Dunn's, amen? But it's nice when to have a parent who actually gives you, when you say, Dad, I'd like to have this, amen? When God gives you what you say, God, I know I don't need it, but I'd like it. And the Lord says, done. Cares. He cares. At least he says he does about what you need and what you want. And I like this. I thought about this. You know, for most of our prayer life, it seems like God is hiding. But when we humble ourselves, it's as if he comes out of hiding and he just shows up and he says, hi. You're like, where have you been? He says, I've been waiting for you to come down. He's the opposite, isn't he? We learned about the mirror principle. The closer you get to the image in the mirror, what does the image do? It gets closer to you. The further you walk away from the image in the mirror, what's happening to the image? It's walking further away. The closer you want to get to God, the closer he wants to get to you. But you must decrease so that he can increase. Second point, God absolutely resists the proud. James 4 now, verse 6. James 4 in verse 6. Right after the book of Hebrews comes the book of James. Chapter 4 and verse 6, he absolutely, without question, resists the proud. James 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth. That's present tense. We'd say resists. It's gone going. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. What are we talking about? Well, you see, most people just want God to leave them alone. I want you to understand this. God doesn't ignore the proud. Every proud person, we went calling yesterday door to door, inviting people out to the Bible study and trying to give them the gospel. We had a few people who said, don't want anything to do with God. You know what he's saying? I just want to ignore him. I want him to ignore me. Guess what? God cannot. If you're full of pride, guess what God says? He resists you. That's a scary thought. It ought to scare you. It ought to wake you up. Most people just want to be alone, But God works against proud people. Let me be quite plain with you. He ruins their lives. I'm proof of it. I've seen things, my plans, my designs, things that I thought were going to go great, fall into pieces. And the problem was my pride. God worked against it. It was good. I thought it was the best thing. It's going to go great. And the Lord just went, and he unplugged it. God resisted the proud. Most important fact you'll ever learn is that God absolutely resists you when you're proud. Did you know you don't need the devil to destroy you? We know the verses, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. But you don't even need the devil to devour you. All you need to do is be proud and God will destroy you. You say, God will do that? Did you read it? Well, God wouldn't do. Yes, he will. Because he has a spiritual principle, and that is that pride goes before destruction. And if he said, well, I wouldn't do that to Leo. Leo's too nice of a guy. He can't violate his principle just because he likes a guy. All right? The principle is, my pride, no matter how good my design, and you need to learn from Solomon. Solomon was responsible for building the greatest temple of all. It was covered in gold. When people from 30 miles away were coming into Jerusalem, the temple was 120 feet high at the entrance gate. It was covered in gold. It reflected like a copy of the sun. And as people came up close to Jerusalem, there's this beautiful radiance. And when Solomon became so full of himself, and he walked around and he thought it was his own wisdom that built great Israel, God said, you're going down. And that temple that he had built to the glory of God, God said, I couldn't care less about it. He sent Babylon in. He sent Assyria in. And they stole and tore and ripped away every stitch of gold, every brick, every block because of pride. Got a great thing you're trying to build? You better stay out of the way. And when God's trying to humble you, you better let him humble you because you'll lose everything. God resisteth the proud. No wonder people don't get answered to prayer. and it's no wonder that people give up praying about things. Because they just expect God to overlook their arrogance. Lord, you understand, don't you? You understand. This is how I am. Lord says, we got to change that. Amen? Aren't you glad God's trying to change us? He takes us as we are, but he doesn't want to leave us as we are. I see people, when they pray, God doesn't seem to answer. They get angry at God instead of at their own wrong attitude. Now, what does humility mean? See, I talked about humility, and you thought, oh, I think I know what it means. Let me challenge you. Do you know what humility, let's just use some words, and let's just develop this thing lowly. You ever seen a kid? When a child comes up, and we got a bunch of these kids, they're running around. Do you know what it's like to them? Everything is big to them. I mean, I don't know how they don't get a crick in their neck. But you know what lowly is? Hi. Come here.
I mean, I'm 48 years old. I mean, that's too childish for me to come down.
Go down. Go down, man. You know what a kid likes? Kid likes somebody to come down to his level, amen? And you better realize, if you're going to worship God and get an answer to prayer, you better get down. On the floor, down. Lowly means everybody else can be so strutting around like a peacock and so proud of their accomplishments. I mean, you can even hear people say, I want to talk about all the answers to prayer that I have. The arrogance. You come in low. That's humility. Meekness. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. What does meekness mean? Not demanding of God. Not thinking you deserve anything from him. That's meekness. Now, I'm glad I can ask, and I can believe that he will supply my need, but I definitely don't tell him what to do. Amen. Your kids come in there. I don't know, Rachel may not do it yet. Let's find, okay, well, Lydia's too sweet. I got to find somebody that's mean, you know. But one of your kids just comes in, and then, I mean, you're both in bed, and just gets on the bed and looks at, Mom, Dad, I'm fed up with the food in this house. And Kevin goes, me too. I mean, he doesn't live very long after that. But anyway, I mean, the attitude of this thing, Meek says, Mom, thank you for all of the effort, all of the sacrifice, all the time. And thank you that Dad doesn't cook. Amen. Meekness does not make a demand. Meekness is glad for what they get. That's meekness. That's humility. To be broken is probably the most important modern word we could apply to this thing. To not be strong in yourself. To be actually fragile. If we would admit it, we are in pieces. Amen? To be quiet and weak is to be broken. You break your arm. You know what you do with your arm? Nothing. You wrap it up. You don't put any stress on it. You don't use it to hit anybody with. This thing is broken. It's in pieces, and it's weak. Amen? And if you come to God that way, God, you've got his attention now. Amen? You don't shake your fist at God. How about this one? I like this definition. To distrust yourself. Humility means you won't rely on anything about you. You don't rely on your smartness. You don't rely on your money. You don't rely on your friends. Humility is, I've just got you, God. You don't trust yourself. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be free from pride and arrogance? That's humility. I mean, free from it. Pride is like a grip. It's like a chain around our neck. But just look at us. Just look at us. The way we dress is full of pride. Amen. Our body language toward one another. How you doing, brother?
Praise God, amen. Yep. Aren't you glad you get to be with me? Yep. Glad you got to see me. Amen.
Now, don't take me wrong. All right? It's good to have a cheerful attitude and to love one another. But they should not get the air or the idea that, wow, I'm in the presence of somebody important. Amen? Amen. Just watch our body language. We do it without even thinking about it. When we pray, it's like we're on stage somewhere on Wednesday nights. We get together in small groups of two, sometimes three. And when we pray, we worry about what they hear us say. It might be embarrassing if they saw us cry. We would be worried that somebody might hear somebody begin to heave and sorrow about somebody going to hell. We're worried too much about how we're perceived, full of pride. Humility cares only about how God sees us. The only time he's ever impressed with us is when he sees humility in us. Now it gets deeper. We are commanded to humble ourselves. You say, God, humble me. Do not pray that. Don't pray for God to humble you. Because he can. It'll be the most God-awful thing that ever happens in your life if you ask God to humble you. Now maybe you need it. If you need somebody to pray for God to humble you, I would gladly do it. Because it's going to hurt. Some of you aren't laughing. Come on, stay with me. We're commanded to humble ourselves. In Micah 6:8, take your Bible, go to Micah. It's just before Matthew. It's a small little book, Micah. Chapter 6 and verse 8. Stay with me. Come on. Find those pages. He has showed thee. Micah. Little book. If you find Matthew, go to the left from Matthew and go through little book after little book. Those are called the minor prophets. They're small little books, all prophesying of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. And Micah 6:8 says this. He hath showed thee. He's made it very clear, old man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? What does he require of me? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to do what? And to walk humbly with thy God. Who's responsible for being humble? Me. Us. I'm supposed to walk humbly with God. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Go to the right now. Matthew 18 and verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. I mean, you get little Nathan van der Westhuizen. That kid trusts me. And if I said, here, Nathan, I'm going to throw you in the air. You know what he'd do? Amen? And you've got to get to the place where you're humble enough like a little child to just say, God, whatever you want to do. Woo-hoo! Amen? That is a humility that we don't normally have. Verse 4 says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child who just in front of all of those scouring adult disciples climbed up there and sat on Jesus' knee and smiled at every one of them and thought he was the bee's knees. He's sitting there happy as Larry. He says, if you just humble yourself like this little child, you'll be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Go to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. Matthew 23 and verse 12. And whosoever shall humble shall exalt himself shall be what? Abased is to be put down the bottom. I mean, a lamp has a base, doesn't it? And you'll be put at the bottom. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That's pretty clear. I'll show you another set. We're commanded to humble ourselves. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Keep going to the right. Before you get to Hebrews, you're going to come to a little book called Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then comes Colossians chapter 3 in verse 12. Now, I like the way that this is phrased because it helps me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore. What does that imply? Like a coat. Put on something like a jacket, like a jumper. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. You're something special to God. Really, if he didn't think you were special, you'd be nothing. Amen? Again, what are we? Just above dirt. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies. That's your gut feeling, where your gut feeling is to always give mercy. Kindness, and look at this, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 3:12 says, put on a humble mind. Put it on. 1 Peter 5 now go after Hebrews. Come to a book called 1 Peter. Chapter 5. You know what I found out? This Bible is a book of prayer. And it deals with the hard hearts of men and women and children almost in every chapter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Look at how it describes itself. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject, obedient one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God, here he is again, resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That's a pretty unique way of describing it. Go to verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore. Therefore saying, God resists the proud, so you should humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Do you want the mighty hand of God to ruin your day? Or make your day. The same hand that can resist you can bless you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, this describes to me is Jesus Christ trying to put an attitude on me, and I have to take the attitude from him. He's the only source of this attitude. I don't get it from a self-help book. I don't get it from watching Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil or Dr. Jane or Dr. Jude or Dr. Spock or something like that. What I do is I take what Jesus Christ gives me for the day. He says, wear it. And I'm clothed with it. It's what people see now. You can see my jacket, can't you? You don't see maybe everything that's wrong underneath it, but on the surface, you see humility. You see, you know I'm a sinner. Some of you will say amen. You know that I'm a mess, but when I put on humility, that's all you see. Does that make sense? So every single day of your life, you must put on this attitude. We're commanded to. I mean, my mom wouldn't let me go out unless I was dressed, amen? I saw for the first time in a long time, I saw a kid yesterday out with shorts. I know the South Africans do it, but this was an Irish girl. She was running around barefoot. And I went, that's my kind of kid, man. I mean, that was me. It was normal to get splinters in the bottom of the feet. It was normal to be covered in grass. And the one thing we didn't want to do was wear clothes when I was growing up. Not that clothes were wrong, it's just it just got in the way. Man, I mean, trees, you climb up a tree and your trousers get ripped, your shirt gets ripped and everything. Just get rid of the shirt, amen. Mom wouldn't let us go out unclothed, and God doesn't want you going out without being clothed in humility, amen. It will be the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's going to take all your concentration. It will take all of your effort to push you to the back and let Jesus be first. Now, I've already said it. Don't wait to be humbled. The most stupid person in this room is saying, oh, I'm not going to work on that. Well, guess what? If you won't, God will. Amen. Amen. Many a man, many a woman, many a nation has been broken and ruined by their sin and by God working against them. They had the greatest reasons to succeed. You look through history and you see great nations rise and you see great endeavors attempt and then come crashing down. Why? Arrogance. Pride. They forgot God. Most people are defeated today not because they humbled themselves, but because they stayed proud. Humility will not ruin you. I'm going to say this at the end, but it's a great statement. If you want your problems fixed, you got to get broken. You're afraid that if I lose control of this thing, I'm ruined. No. When you lose control and you cast it upon the Lord, it's all going to get fixed. From now on, when you sit down to pray, take the time to dismantle your pride. First of all, go to Acts 21. I'll show you an illustration here. Acts 21. I just bow in those stiff knees. Acts 21 and verse 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. There were some other Christians, so they wanted to hang around with him, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not keep going on up to Jerusalem. He said, Paul, don't go. They're gonna cut your head off. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. We went on. And they all brought us on our way. They went with us with wives and their children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. There's something wonderful about this kind of praying. There's something humbling about it. And if you want to have power with God, go low. I don't think you should stop there. If you're really hurting, you can just get flat out. You see, when you get that low, don't do it when everybody else is watching, because you'll be worried about them. But when you're at your bedside and you just can't get hurt, maybe just go flat on the floor. And you just cry out to God and you just realize, I got to pray. I got to get so low so God hears me. That's the beginning. Secondly, check your harsh words. I don't want to even ask you. I want to ask you how many of you this week had words that you regret to somebody you claim to love. You need to check your harsh words. The things that you say without even thinking, you need to go back. You need to start to say, I can't say that anymore. If I want to answer to prayer, if I want a wayward son, a wayward daughter back, if I want a husband saved or a wife saved, if I want God to intervene and get me out of this problem I'm in, if I need God to fix this health thing that's going to kill me, I got to get this tongue under control. Amen. You need to start by confessing the hatred and the anger you carry against others. Who do you think you are? I'm looking at Eileen. I stopped there and I went, I'm in trouble now. But who do you think you are if you're carrying a grudge against another? You think you're God? God will take care of them. You want answers to prayer? Stop defending yourself and stop protecting your feelings. Well, she hurt me. Yep. Stop defending yourself. See, God will defend you when you drop your guard. Just start blessing and honoring those around you, no matter who they are or what they've done against you. Start thinking of others and meet their needs, and guess what? God will take care of you now. That's humility, isn't it? Jim, I'm not getting many amens out of this. Should I change my message? How to be rich and famous in 30 days. That's what you want to hear. Come on, answer me. Yeah, amen. You know, you need to decide that God is right. No matter what he's allowing you to go through, you need to decide God is right. He's God. And then you need to start praying about other people's needs instead of yours only. I know you got a list a mile long, but it's not Christmas. It's time to pray for others. That's humility. That's how you start to dismantle, take apart this attitude of pride. But I'm not finished yet. I want to give you the humility test. Did you know? I want to tell you how to know you're humble. And if you take this humble test, you will never, if you ever arrive at being humble, you'll never think you're humble. You just want to be more humble. So don't get this idea of, well, I'm going to check every one of those things off. I'm going to get humble. I didn't put a graphic up. It is a husband and wife. They're looking at each other, and they're arguing. And he says, what? I just told you how humble I was and proud of it. Do you know how you'll know? Here's the humble test. How to know you're humble. Number one, ask yourself, do you love the Word of God? Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Fifth book in the Old Testament, chapter 8 and verse 2. Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 2. See, some people love church. Guess what? After a few weeks, that love wears off and they're gone. Some people love the singing. Some people love the tea. Some people love Pastor Craig. Rare. But if you love that book, you'll stay. Amen. You'll dig in and say, I'm not going nowhere. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And he humbled thee. This is God speaking to the nation of Israel. He humbled thee. He suffered thee to hunger. And fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. He didn't even know what it was or where it came from. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Go back to verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. He did it to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his what? So he let them get hungry. He let them struggle so that they would turn to the book and say, I love this book. I can't live on pizza alone. I can't live on Coronation Street. I take walks in the evening. Usually every Saturday evening I take a long walk around my estate and I pray for almost every one of the houses as I can as I go through. And the grief and the burden that's on my heart is without exception downstairs, upstairs, this room, that room. The blue flicker of the TV is going. And my heart sinks and I realize how hard it is to convince them they need God. They're looking, they're desperately trying to find some channel that has some buzz to it. It's not there. I got the buzz. If you know the truth will make you free, man. You'll love this book. Secondly, do you argue with God? See, a humble person doesn't argue with God. You know what Jesus said? Not my will, but thy will be done. How readily do you argue with God? If you're humble, you won't argue with him anymore. You'll actually accept correction. Psalm 141. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you to want to work on humility. I know every one of us want to have answered prayer. Want to have God answering our requests. Why waste our time praying if we're not going to get an answer? How about deciding I'm going to pray and get an answer? Amen? Doesn't that kind of go together? I mean, it's like you women. I'm going to go shopping and buy something. You'll get it in a minute. A man just likes to go shopping. We are content to go and come home with nothing. Amen? Amen. Come on, gentlemen. I know your wife is right next to you, but say amen. We don't want to buy anything. But a woman, when she goes shopping, she's got to buy something. And I want to get us so hungry that when we pray, we never ever say, I just prayed. I've got to pray to get something. Amen. That's how to pray. That's how we ought to pray. Do you accept correction? Psalm 141 and verse 5. Let the righteous smite me. Ouch. It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. Do you like it, Jim, when somebody comes up and says, that was so wrong. I can't believe you did that way. Do you like that? But a humble man, look what it says. It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil. Like something if you got you're out in the sun all the time and the heat is just crackling the top of your head or your skin on your hands and you put on that oil and it just soothes it. Somebody's rebuke will be like an excellent soothing oil which shall not break my head, meaning the skin on my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. I'm going to pray when people are in trouble, not laughing at them when they're in trouble, because I accept correction. I allow somebody to correct me. Do you find that easy? It's because we're not humble. If you're humble, the humble test says you'll love it when somebody says, that was wrong. And you'll be able to say, thanks. Do you accept correction? Do you accept the will of God no matter where it's taking you? Like Jesus did. Say, God, I got into this thing, but I don't like where I'm going. A humble person says, God, you got me in this thing. I'm going to trust you to get me out. You began a good work in me. I'm trusting you're going to finish it. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. I'm just going to ride it all the way through. See, humility says, whatever the will of God is for me, I'm going to stay with it. You just believe God is good. See, humility says God cannot do anything less than perfect. You just believe God is good. You know how you know you don't believe that? You complain. I complained this week. I complained seriously to God about something. I got upset at God. Oh, Pastor got upset at God. Yes, and I'm still alive. But I realized I was the stupid one. Amen? I believe God's good. You know what? You'll love unlovely people. Just like Jesus did. That's the proof you're humble. You'll love somebody who does not love you. Oh, you don't know what I want to do to them. And you'd go to jail, amen? Humble person, the humility test says, you'll bless them that curse you. You'll love them. You'll love unlovely people. Aren't you glad God loves you? God loves the ungodly. You'll instantly forgive anyone just as Jesus does. You know, God doesn't hold a grudge. I mean, milliseconds are eternity with God. From the moment that you say, I'm sorry, God, boom, done. But somebody says, I'm sorry to you, woo, let's wait and see. Yeah, yeah. And you wonder why God doesn't answer your prayer. Your heart will become tender and able to hurt. Able to hurt again. Go to 2 Kings 22. Go to left. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 19. When you're humble, your heart will be tender and it'll be able to hurt again. It won't be hard and calloused. 2 Kings 22 and verse 19. God speaking to a young king. 22 and verse 19. Second Kings 22:19, speaking to the king who could have been arrogant, shook his fist at God and said, God, You've left us in this mess. It's all your fault. Instead of doing all that, look what God says in response to his humbleness. He says, because thine heart was... All right, if something's tender, guess what? It can hurt. Because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest that what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof. God was warning them, and that they should become a desolation and a curse. And hast rent thine expensive clothes and wept before me. I also have what? What do you want from God? You want him to hear your prayer. And God says, that's when I heard thee, saith the Lord. Cool. You say, my heart is hurting. Thank God. When your heart doesn't hurt, when your heart is calloused, when nobody makes you upset, when nobody is able to get near you, you're in a dangerous place. But you say, I've always walked on. Yep. So was Jesus. Aren't you glad he didn't get calloused? Aren't you glad he stayed soft and God asked you to do the same? Now, you're going to have ups and downs, and believe me, we're all going to fail at keeping our hearts soft. But every time it gets hard, we should immediately say, God, it's gotten hard again. Please help me strip away everything that I've put over it, everything that I've tried to protect. Help me hurt again, because by hurting, I'm humble. And when I'm humble, I get answers to prayer. And I don't care if I hurt, as long as I get the needs met in my life. I'm not talking about your money, your pocketbook, or your car, or your house, or your banker, or your holiday. I'm talking about people getting saved. I'm talking about your kids coming home. I'm talking about your wife being happy. I'm talking about your husband working a job and being there for the family. I'm talking about your mom and your dad. I'm talking about eternal things. Amen. Is your heart able to hurt? You know what? Most of our problems is when it comes to prayer. We'll gather for prayer and we'll pray, and God's a million miles away. And we just go through the motions. And I'm desperate that our church, that our homes, that our people have a soft heart. Amen. And we care to be humble. Do you think any about this? Is any of it like you? No wonder we're getting very few of our prayers answered, man. We just pull our hair out and we say, God, it's not working. And let me finish this up. Let me tell you what humbleness will get you. Go back to Psalm 10, where we started. Psalm 10. Psalm 10 and verse 17. It'll get you more than the fanciest praying will get you. I watched somebody pray yesterday at the crash site of that Flight 93. And that person prayed on and 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 on. All kinds of big, expensive words, too. I mean, maybe they thought they were doing their best. I'm not going to judge the person. I just listen. I just wondered, is God listening, or is he doing it for the camera? Listen, you want to get to the place where you don't care the words you use. You don't care where you are. You've got to be heard. And if you want answers to prayer, it'll come this way. Psalm 10, and verse 17. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart, and thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. And what you'll get, if you actually get the deepest, if you keep your deepest heart attitude right, you're going to get God's attention. I don't know if you understand that. It took me weeks to get my wife's attention when I was trying to get her attention. She was not interested. I don't understand why. She was not interested in this Texan at first. It took me weeks to get her to actually go out with me. It was wrong. But if you've ever had the problem of trying to get somebody's attention that you want their attention, you know what I'm talking about, where we have given up trying to get God's attention. You want to get God's attention? Humble yours. Michael, you see that? Hey, Gabriel, come over here. Look at this. You'll get God's attention. Secondly, you'll get everything you need. I believe with all my heart. You'll get everything you need. You need a job? God will get you a job. I think God could get you working for Bill Gates. I don't think I'd want to work for him. But I believe, listen, I'm just telling you. If you need something, God is not limited. All right? We have to start to realize he'll give me what I need. He already knows what I need. He waits for me to ask, doesn't he? So, I've got this need. Can God give it? Yes. You know, humility will not only get his attention, it'll get what I need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. It'll not only that, it'll give you, it'll get you your desires. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Say, I desire a wife or a husband. You know, you don't have to be married. That's hard to say. I think most of us really believe we have to be married. But if you're not married, you know what you have to determine? God, if it's not a need in my life, I accept it. But it sure is a want. Amen? It's a desire, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you that wife or that husband. He'll give you that house. He'll give you good success in your business. He doesn't have to help you succeed, does he? Amen. He may just want you flipping burgers. Amen. Amen. He may want you sweeping the street. He may want you, I don't know what. But he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. He's heard the desire of the humble. And you know what? Go to Luke 18. You can leave this. Go to Luke 18. He'll even give you eternal life. Luke 18, verse 13. If you start in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. Luke 18, 10. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. A very sinful man who worked for the Roman government and took taxes away from people. He was not very well liked. So you have a Pharisee, a religious man, and a publican, a sinner. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, can you hear him? The arrogance? Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Look what I do, God. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. That's a good way to be. But smote upon his breast. He's grieving, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified, forgiven, pardoned, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You want to get the gift of eternal life? Humble yourself. He cannot save a proud man or a proud woman. You know that? He cannot save a proud teenager. He can't save anybody until you're humble. Until you humbled yourself. He'll give you eternal life. That's a pretty good deal. You come in with nothing and you walk away with everything. And I believe more than anything, let's go to 2 Chronicles 7, the last scripture. It could save this nation. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. In verse 14. The EMF, the ECB, the all the monetary unions, all of the banks of Europe and even of the world are fretting and struggling to figure out what to do. I know what to do. I know exactly what to do. 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people, doesn't have to be everybody on the planet, just the people who claim the name of Christ. If my people, which are called by my... What? Isn't that amazing? It's the first thing. Did anybody notice it's the first on the list? Shall humble themselves and pray. And seek my face. Seek what I want. And turn from their wicked ways. I think we got a lot of sins to answer for. Then will I... He hadn't been listening, has he? Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And wouldn't it be wonderful if he would heal our land? Wouldn't it be wonderful? It could save our nation. It could make it so that our leaders actually get some backbone to do what's right, not what the EU tells them to do, and to just go along with the rest of the crowd and just destroy every good thing in this country. It could save this nation. What will humbleness get you? You say, well, if I come in humble, nobody's going to notice me. If I come in humble, my boss won't give me a raise. If I come in humble, my wife won't fix me dinner. If I'm not in there telling me, get my dinner, she's not going to fix my dinner. Don't treat her like a dog, and I bet you she'll treat you better. By the way, you want to know the power of humility? That's the power. And if you've got God's attention, it doesn't matter if you've got anybody else's. If you got everything you needed from God, you wouldn't need the government. Amen? If you got even your desires, you wouldn't need to go to Argos. And if you got eternal life, you wouldn't care if you got anything on this side of heaven. You just know when you get to heaven, you have everything waiting there. And if we got our hearts right, if we just got right, it might turn the clock back on the judgment of God that's coming against this Europe, against this world. And it is rapidly coming. Here's the conclusion. God pays attention to humble people. You wondering why God's not giving you attention? Check the heart. He absolutely resists the proud. If you're wondering why everything you try self-destructs, it might be because God's trying to teach you that you're too much a part of it. You got all your reasons and all your plans, and there nobody can do it like you can. And you need to just back off and say, God, if it's of your will, praise God. So be it. If it's not, let it go. Anybody remember what humility means? Give me a come on, talk to me. What does humility mean? Give me a word.
Lowly.
Lowly. Excellent. Another word. Meekness. Another concept. Contrite. Good Bible word. How about distrusting of yourself? You just don't trust yourself anymore. Just trust in God. Humility. There's a lot in that word, isn't there? We're commanded to humble ourselves. It's just as important as thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's just as important as thou shalt not commit adultery. It's just as important as thou shalt not steal. Amen. It's humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What's humbleness going to get you? God's attention. Everything you need. I'm serious, man. When you think of that, you think, man, I need a lot. You need to change. You need to realize there are some. You need to breathe, man. You need a friend. You need a church. You need God. And God will supply every one of your needs, but he won't stop there. He'll also give you your desires. Not every one of them, but he may just surprise you and give you what you desire. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Humbleness will get you eternal life. I got it 31 years ago. Never regretted it. I had to go to God as a sinner and ask him to have mercy on me and save me. I just prayed. I prayed at a kitchen table with a friend looking at me going, you ready to trust God or not? And I said, yes. He says, then ask. And I bowed. Actually, I got out of the, I don't know why. He didn't tell me to, but I got out of the chair. I got on my knee and on my knees. And I said, God, and for the first time in about 4 years, I cried. And I said, God, I am a sinner. And I should go to hell, but I don't want to. And according to your word, I don't have to. Please have mercy on me and save me. And he did. If you want to wait till you get home, fine. You might not get home. You need to get saved today and get the gift of eternal life today, humbly. And it could save this nation. Let's stand in prayer, because I'm going to say you're never going to get your problems fixed until we get broken.